evening. Good evening. Thank you. Praise the Lord. What? I don't want to thank you, but I thank God for you, for your fellowship in the gospel. I really thank God for you, for your advice, for your encouragement, your prayers, your help in seeking to reach the Prince Edward Island with the good news of the Lord Jesus. And thank you so much. Or it's weird to say thank you because all glory goes to God, but I really do. I thank God for you. I have a lot on my heart. I hope that the Lord really helps and guides me tonight, which He always has and before, so I trust that He will again tonight. I'd like to, in my heart, I'd like to share with you the entire book of Acts. But I've chose to narrow it down to the life of the Apostle Paul and the messages that he preached. Please turn with me to Acts chapter 1. I'll read some verses as introductory. Acts chapter 1, we're going to read the first few verses to verse 11. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and teach, referring to the Gospel of Luke, until the day which he was taken up, after through the Holy Spirit he had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 to 10. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, and then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto the present, but if some have died. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also, as one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, and I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Therefore, whether it be I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. And his grace bestowed upon me was not in vain. God has been good. In my own personal life, I can say God has been extremely, extremely gracious. And who hasn't he been gracious to? And I hope at the end of my own life, at the end of it all, I could say the grace that was bestowed upon me was not in vain. I hope and pray that that would be our prayer. I'd like to go back to the beginning of Acts for some further reading. In verse 8, Jesus said, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit shall come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the end of the earth." Now when he had spoken these things while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, whom was taken up from you into heaven, will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in holy conduct and godliness? Father in heaven, we just bow before you, asking for your help. Pray that our lives would be changed as we hear from your word. Your word changes lives. Father, we pray for your word to be blessed to every heart. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. As we get to the life of the Apostle Paul, we skip over a few of the first beginning chapters of Acts. We want to get to Acts 8 and 9, where it introduces Saul, or the Apostle Paul. But as we skim through chapters 4, we see Peter and John teaching. And it says in Acts 4, 2, it says, Now as Peter and John taught, it says, Now as they spoke to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. So we just want to take notice as we're going through that Peter and John and the religious leaders, they are greatly disturbed that they preached through Jesus the resurrection of the dead. Jesus rose from the dead, and that's what they preach. I've heard it said that you're not ready to live unless you're ready to die. And we can be ready to die because we know who's on the other side. Jesus rose from the dead. He's there on the other side of death. He's waiting. We need not fear death. Jesus rose again. In Acts 4:32, it said, The multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of these things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them. The apostles testified powerfully to the resurrection of the Lord, and God's great blessing was upon them all. As we continue on, we want to pray that we may be able to testify powerfully to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus rose from the dead. We want to go to Stephen's testimony. It's very important as we look at the life of the Apostle Paul. In Acts chapter 6:15, it says that, And all they that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, which is Stephen, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. For the sake of time, I'm going to skip through most of Stephen's testimony, but just go to the very end of it. And Stephen is very bold. He's very bold, and he's telling the truth. I think of the Apostle Paul, he says to the Galatian believers, he says, Have I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? All Stephen was doing is just speaking the truth. And at the very end of it, end of his testimony, in verse 51, he says, I'm just going to read this one in an NLT to liven it up a bit and make it more fresh in our minds. And it says, Stephen said to the religious leaders, You stubborn people, You are heathen at heart and deaf to the truth. Must you forever resist the Holy Spirit? That's what your ancestors did, and so do you. Name one of the prophets your ancestors didn't persecute. They even killed the ones who predicted the coming of the righteous one, the Messiah, whom you betrayed and murdered. You deliberately disobeyed God's law, even though you received it at the hands of the angels. Stephen's very bold. He tells them that they were wrong. He tells them that they were sinners, that they've disobeyed, that they are guilty. They're guilty before God. They murdered the Messiah, the chosen one, the one the Old Testament was talking about, the hope of the promise of the Old Testament, the fulfillment of it all, the Lord Jesus, and they crucified him. And that Stephen was saying that they're the ones that need Jesus. He is their Savior. And in a way that we held the Lord Jesus on the cross too. In a way, we crucified him because it was our sins that held him there. It was your sin and my sin that he was thinking of when he hung on the cross, that he died for our sins. He thought of you when he was on the cross, bearing God's judgment against sin. Jesus stood there. He remained on the cross. We know that it says that he could have called down 10,000 angels, but he stayed on the cross for you and for me. Did he? Can you say tonight that he died for your sins? Can you take it personally? Say, I know that Jesus Christ, the Lord, he died for all of my sins. Can you say that tonight? Can you make it personal? The religious leaders, instead of agreeing with him, instead of say, you're right, we're guilty, and get down on their knees and repent and turn to the Lord, instead, in verse 54, they say, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed at him with their teeth. But he, Stephen, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed up into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God, and said, look, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and ran at him with one accord. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God, saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he knelt down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, don't charge them with this sin. And when he had said this, he died. Very powerful. Giving up your life for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like to read with you, it just so happened as I was getting ready for this, I came across a little reading of some persecution in North Korea. This is true. This is what's going on today. It's shocking. Our brothers and sisters in Christ standing up for the Lord. This is part of a chapter. It says, a cost to be part of the church. A witness of the North Korea army, who later became a Christian, reported the following. A team had been sent out to widen a highway. When they demolished a vacated house, they find a Bible and a small notebook with 25 names. One identified as pastor, two assistant pastors, two as elders, and another 20 names. Apparently participants in a Christian group. The military police unit investigated and picked up the 25 persons without formal arrest. The 25 were brought to the road construction site. Four rows of spectators were assembled. The five leaders were bound hand and foot and made to lie down in front of a steamroller, which is used at the construction site to crush and level the roadway. The other 20 Christians were held at the side to watch. The condemned were told, if you abandon your faith and serve only Kim Second Sung and Kim Jong Second, the king of North Korea, you will not be killed. None of the five said a word. The steamroller started to roll over the five leaders. Some of the fellow Christians assembled to watch the execution cried, screamed out, or fainted. Why must this happen, we ask? The martyr's blood drenched the ground. The soldier who witnessed the execution could not understand. Later he found Jesus because of the testimony of the 25 who saved his life for eternity. Each person is made in the image of God. Each person's soul has a greater value than all the gold, silver, diamonds, and oil of this world. For what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and yet loses his own soul? Jesus laid down his life for all sinners in this world. Are we not to lay our lives down so that others might have eternal life? The Apostle Paul, he was a young man. When he was a young man, he was named Saul, and he was a persecutor. He was like that leader in the North Korean army. It says in, this is Paul, the section called Paul the Persecutor, before his conversion, it says in Acts 8:1-4, as Saul was consenting to his death. And it says that at that time, a great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And when the Bible says it was a great persecution, we can be sure that it was a great persecution. And Saul had a big part to play in that. And they were scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house, dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Saul was a nasty man. He murdered people. He tortured people. He had people beaten. He was very frustrated, too, because the more that he did that, the more the believers spread the word and they were scattering. Acts 9, verses 1 and 2, then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. So the Christians that were being persecuted, they were scattering. And Saul, he was really frustrated. They saw them spreading around, and so he decided to go after them. He was very zealous, and in his ignorance, he thought he was doing God a favor by doing this. He was doing this as a devotion to God in his mind. In Acts 22, he gives his defense before Jews that are wanting to kill him. The tables have turned at this point in Acts 22, and he gives account of his life before he was a Christian, and he says, brethren and fathers, hear my defense before you now. Acts 22, verse 1. And when they heard that they spoke to them in the Hebrew language, they kept all the more silent. Then he said, I am indeed a Jew, born in Tarsus of Cilicia, brought up in the city at the feet of Gamaliel, taught according to the strictness of our father's law, and was zealous toward God, as you all are today. As I was reflecting on the Apostle Paul's life, the young man Saul, he would have murdered his future self. He would have. The tables have turned. Now he was the one being persecuted later on in his life. And he says that to the people that are now trying to kill him, the Jews that are now trying to kill him, Paul is saying, I used to be one of you and I used to be in your shoes. Because in verse 4 he says, I persecuted this way to the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women. And also the high priest bears me witness, and all the council of the elders, from whom I received letters to the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them in chains, even those who were there to Jerusalem to be punished. In another account of his life in Acts 26, the Apostle Paul states, indeed, I myself thought I must do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. This I did also in Jerusalem, and many of the saints I shut up in prison, having authority from the chief priests, and when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them, and I punished them often in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly enraged against them, I persecuted them even to foreign cities. Again, he was doing this out of thinking that he was zealous towards God, and he was persecuting the Christians, and out of his own righteousness, like he thought he was righteous in doing all this, he went to great lengths to thinking that he was pleasing God by doing all this. And he murdered and tortured people in order to please God. We know that's not right, and I just have a couple points that says, people say that they're happy with their religion. Saul, was he happy with his religion? He thought, it says that according to the righteousness that was in the law, that he was blameless. He wasn't one of those hypocritical Pharisees. He was a blameless Pharisee. And people think that, are they satisfied with their religion? Is he satisfied with his religion? Are you happy with it? What, we know that it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're happy with your religion, if people are happy with their religion. Is God happy with it? That's the thing that matters. And does it satisfy God? Does your religion satisfy God? We know that God is only satisfied in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ on our behalf. Are you satisfied with the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ? What changed Paul? What changed Saul? This point is entitled, I've entitled it Paul the Pauper, because he came to the end of himself. There was a point in his life where he realized he was wrong. And all his own efforts were as rubbish. And he finally agreed with God against himself. And God had mercy on him. And God was gracious to him. What was it that changed his mind? Was it Stephen's testimony? Was it Stephen's face as the face of an angel when just before he was murdered? Or was it when Stephen was being stoned, Stephen cried out, don't charge them with this sin? Saul, he saw the risen Lord Jesus Christ. He saw the risen Lord. In the history, Acts 9, it says, in Acts 9, verse 3, this is the story of his conversion. As Saul journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone round about him from heaven, and he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? This is the risen Lord Jesus saying, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Well, was Saul persecuting the Lord Jesus? He thought he was persecuting the Christians. Well, when Christians are persecuted, it's just like the Lord himself is being persecuted. And that's a great comfort. We know that if we give a glass of cold water in the name of Christ, it's like it's giving it to the Lord Jesus himself. And when people are persecuted and killed, it's just like the Lord Jesus is being persecuted. And when we sing the song, I hear every teardrop, the Lord says, and he does. So the Lord Jesus says, why are you persecuting me? In verse 5, and Saul said, who are you, Lord? Then the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. So he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? I can't imagine what was going through his mind when he realized the God that he was trying to please. He sincerely wanted to please God. And the God that he was trying to please, that he was actually torturing and murdering the God that he was trying to please. I can't imagine what was going through his mind. And that God wouldn't just zap him, wouldn't just wipe him away. The Lord was gracious. Wow, the Lord is gracious. Acts 22, Paul says, now it happened as I journeyed and came near Damascus about noon, suddenly a great light from heaven shone around him, and I fell to the ground and heard a voice say to me, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? So I answered, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting. Acts 26:13, at midday, O king, I saw along the road, I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shining round about me and those who journeyed with me. And we all had fallen to the ground. I heard a voice speaking to me saying in the Hebrew language, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It's hard for you to kick against the goats. So I said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and stand on your feet. But rise and stand on your feet. You think the grace of God that had Saul rise and stand on his feet. Stephen's prayer was answered. The Lord Jesus said, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness, both of the things which you have seen and the things which I will yet reveal to you. And I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive the forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Verse 19, and therefore, he says, therefore, King Agrippa, he says, I was not disobedient to that heavenly vision. This was true repentance. He was not disobedient. This was a 180. He turned from his own religion, his own way of pleasing God, and he turned to Jesus. He bowed down to the Lord Jesus, and he obeyed. I want to look at repentance. I want to look at a few minutes, what is repentance? An example of repentance is in the letter to the Thessalonians. The Apostle Paul would say about the Thessalonians that they've turned from their idols to serve the living and true God. They turned from self to serve the living and true God. Turning from whatever our hearts are devoted to. What's your heart devoted to? The Lord Jesus' command is to love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. How's that going? I want to ask, what's your thought life like? What, How, the Bible says, in all your ways, acknowledge him. How are you doing with that? I want to look at idolatry, and it's like, if we're not loving God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, anything less than that, there's some form of idolatry there. I'm not saying this. I recognize that the Christian life is a life of repentance, and that we're never going to attain perfection until we see the Lord Jesus, and then we'll be like him. I understand that. But with the power of the Spirit of God, I dare to say it's attainable with his power to love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Think of the martyrs. I want to read a quote about serving idols instead of God. I got this from the Revolution of Man book that's new in the library. It says, people usually spend far more money in serving their idols and the maintenance of their false religions in the service of the triple deity of this world. John 1 John 2:16, the world, the flesh, and the devil, than God's children would ever think of sacrificing for their Savior and his church. Idolatry is an expensive business, and its net results are an accusing conscience, a heavy burden of guilt, death, and damnation. Repentance is turning from sin and putting your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, putting God in his rightful place in your life. Repentance is a sick man's acknowledgement of his own illness. Confess, I am a sinner. It's having no hope in self, recognizing that you're a dead man, that God is holy, the wages of sin is death. They recognize that we're dead. We agree with God against ourselves, and then faith in the Lord Jesus. Isaiah 45:22, look unto me, God says, look unto me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. If you're a dead man, there is a way out if we're dead before God, because Jesus rose again. There's life from the dead. And we can have resurrection life. God raised Jesus from the dead, so we can be raised from the dead. Phil Robertson would say, how are you going to get out of the ground? How are you going to get out of the ground? Jesus is the only way. His conversion, what made him really change his mind, was he saw the risen Lord. Jesus rose again. After his conversion, we read that in Acts 9, verse 20, immediately he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. It says in Acts 9, 22, but Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who dwelt at Damascus, proving that Jesus is the Christ. He that once persecuted now preaches the faith which he tried to destroy. Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4, I believed, and therefore I speak. In Acts 13, a little sample of his preaching in Acts 13. Of course, he was mighty in the gospel to the Gentiles, and he was sent out from an assembly to go and preach the gospel to every creature. And Paul and Barnabas ended up in Antioch, Pisidia, and just a little portion of that says, he says, now when they had fulfilled all that was written concerning him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a tomb. But God raised him from the dead. A little sample of his sermon. He says, but God raised him from the dead. And he was seen for many days by those who came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses to the people. And we declare to you glad tidings the promise which was made to the fathers, God fulfilled this for us, their children, in that he raised up Jesus. In Athens, the people that Paul was talking to, they would say Acts 17:18, he seems to be a proclaimer of foreign gods because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. And in Acts 20, as we wrap up, Paul would say, one of the hearts of his ministry, Paul would say to the Ephesian elders, as he going to Jerusalem, knowing that persecution awaits him, Paul would say, I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulation await me. He say, but none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. I'm going to read that last little part in the NLT. Paul would say, my life is worth nothing unless I do the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus. My life is worth nothing unless I do the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus. Can we say that? We say that with the Apostle Paul. Our lives are worth nothing unless we do the work assigned to us by the Lord Jesus. The work of telling others the good news of God's wonderful kindness and love. There is a resurrection. There's a resurrection to life and a resurrection to death. In Acts 24, verses 14 to 16, this is Paul before Felix. He's defending. He says, I confess to you, according to the way which they call a sect, so I worship the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets. Paul would say, I have hope in God, and they themselves also accept that there be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. Lord Jesus would say in John 5:28, do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming which all that are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth, those that have done good to the resurrection of life, and those that have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. What's it mean by doing good? In the next chapter, chapter 6, people are wondering, what does it mean? What shall we do that we do the works of God? And Jesus would say, this is the work of God. This is what you have to do. What is it? Jesus said, "This believe in him whom he has sent." Jesus said, well, believe in me. I implore you, because you don't know what tomorrow will bring, and the Lord may come back at any moment, to enter a relationship with God now through the Lord Jesus. He is the great reconciler. Be reconciled to God and have his righteousness imputed to you. Have his perfection imputed to you. Be forgiven, be justified, be declared righteous in God's sight through the Lord Jesus, and that he died for your sins, he was buried, and rose again, and ascended to heaven, his promise to come back. It says he commanded all people everywhere to repent. Remember that the Apostle Paul would say, my life is worthless unless I do the work assigned to us by the Lord Jesus. Father in heaven, as we bow, we're humbled at the things people go through in the world to testify of you, the persecution that's in the world, Lord. We pray you'd strengthen the persecuted brethren. Thank you for the country in which we live. It doesn't cost us our blood yet, but we know that if it does, you're there waiting on the other side. Equip us for whatever you have for us. Help us to do the work assigned to us by you. You have been really gracious to us, Lord. So merciful, so gracious. And we pray that grace given to us would not be in vain. We thank you for this time where we can just read your word, and Father, I pray that your word would be a blessing to every heart. I pray these things in the name of our Savior, Lord Jesus. Amen.